When Joseph's brothers, we're reading from the book of Genesis today, chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Okay, we're talking about forgiveness today, and in particular, forgiveness in families. Forgiveness, you know, is probably one of those subjects, you know, I get a lot of questions about. But, you know, today's Mother's Day, and I saw online, different Mother's Day cards. One of them, and moms, I don't know if y'all can relate to this. One of them, it was a mom in a doctor's office. You know, doctor's there, you know, the mom's there. You know, she's telling the doctor, you know, "I'm exhausted, I'm irritable, you know, I'm just stressed out all the time." Doctor looks at her, you know, doctor's looking at her and says, "You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. You got kids." Another card, someone said to their mother, you know, in the front of it was "Happy Mother's Day," you know, and said, "I hope you enjoy what's inside, you know, for your personal spa day." Open the card, you know, it's a picture, you know, it had a Ziploc with two Kleenex in it. You know, I kind of question the relationship, you know, between that mother, you know, and that person. But today's Mother's Day, thinking about my own mother, died many years ago. I think I could have had about the best mother anybody could ever have. Thinking back, you know, all that she did for me, my sisters, our family, you know, everything she did, just unbelievable. You know, and I compare my mother to my wife and my daughters, you know, all mothers, you know, I say, you know, and in some ways they're really good, you know, they surpass, but in a lot of ways, you know, they fall short. You know, my mom was just unbelievable. But even at that, you know, I think about my mom and times that maybe she didn't do it quite what I expected. But also I have to think about the times, especially at me being a parent now, the times that I did not do what she expected of me, times I disappointed her, and times I probably hurt her, you know, in what I did. Times my kids, and still, times my kids did things, you know, I didn't like. But, you know, hurt bounces around in families, you know, that, you know, and that's just how it is. And if we don't learn how to forgive, you know, life can be rough. You know, if you don't know how to forgive, if we can't figure out how to forgive, you know, especially in families, you know, it makes life rough. You know, if you don't know how to forgive, you know, you can end up a very resentful, bitter, angry person. You know, we may need to ask for forgiveness from someone. We may need to forgive somebody. And at times, we even need to learn to forgive ourselves, you know, and to learn to do all of these things. And if we don't learn how, it makes family life hard. It makes work hard. You know, it just makes life hard in general. We need to have forgiveness going, you know, and it goes all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible. In Genesis 11, you know, we're introduced to a man named Abram. You know, later he'd become known as Abraham. I think everybody probably knows the story. Abram and Sarah, you know, they can't have kids, you know, but God tells them, promises them, they will. But if you look at their family, their kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, you know, you will find the most dysfunctional family, you know, ever want to see. I mean, this family could have been, you know, one of those reality shows, the good, the bad, and the ugly family, you know. But at the same time, these families, they are the foundation for the Jewish faith and foundation of the Christian faith. You know, but they had brokenness and they had hurt in their families. You know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob and Rachel and Leah, you know, and they had other women involved in this. Jacob will later change his name, be known as Israel, and he had 12 sons, you know, and the brokenness that was in that family. You know, so a quick glance in the history of it, you know, Abraham's married to Sarah, you know, and at one point, you know, they end up in Egypt. And what happens? You know, Abraham, you know, tells Sarah, tell Pharaoh, you're my sister, not my wife. So Sarah's taken into to Pharaoh's harem as one of his wives. You know, hey, that's his wife going there. And then God chastises Pharaoh, you know, says, what have you done? Sends her back, you know, to Abraham, you know, and they get through that. You know, can you imagine his wife is gone into, you know, another man's harem, you know, then comes back, you know, but they get through it. They end up in the promised land, and again, Abraham and Sarah can't have wives. So Sarah suggests, hey, take my maid. You know, she can be the surrogate mother for you. You know, so that happens. You know, and as you know, what do you think happens after that? As soon as that happens, Sarah gets pregnant. You know, so the maid's name is Hagar. You know, she gives birth to Ishmael. But Sarah, you know, Sarah wants, you know, her son Isaac to be the only heir to Abraham. So she wants, you know, Ishmael and Hagar sent away. So it happens. So in a sense, we have the first divorce in Scripture. And we have a child abandonment. You know, Abraham sends his son Ishmael away. But God takes care of him. You know, and, you know, we don't hear any more from Ishmael till later on in Scripture. You know, that Jacob and Ishmael come to Isaac and Ishmael come together to bury their father. Isaac marries Rebekah. She has two sons, Jacob and Esau. And y'all probably know this story too. I mean, they're twins. You know, one came out holding the other one's heel. You know, and there's constant friction between these two. You know, and what makes it worse? What makes it worse? Each parent has a favorite kid. You know, so they're just, you know, they're constantly, you know, at each other, you know, trying to get the father's blessings. Jacob ends up with the father's blessings by trickery. So they part ways. And then one day Jacob decides, hey, I need to reconcile with my brother. So they come together. Now in Scripture, it's not put it that way as far as words, but in Scripture they come together. There's forgiveness and there's reconciliation. Like I said, Jacob becomes Israel by name. He has 12 sons. And he has his favorite. His favorite among the 12 is the second youngest. And, you know, and his favorite is Joseph. You know, and Joseph, I mean, he has, you know, 10 older brothers, one younger. And Joseph, I mean, he is an arrogant little twit, you know, and full of himself, too. I mean, he's telling his big brother stuff, you know, and you're reading it, you think, gosh, you know, they're going to take him out behind the woodshed, you know, and just deal with him. Well, they do. They decide, hey, you know, we're going to take care of this little kid, you know, so they decide they're going to kill him. But instead of killing him, they throw him into a pit. You know, so, oh, you know, we feel bad about this, so they take him out and sell him into slavery. Well, he ends up in Egypt. He ends up in prison for something he didn't do. But then he ends up out of prison. And he ends up second in command of Egypt. Now, a lot of time has passed. And his brothers come to Egypt looking for food because there's a famine where they live. They come face to face with their brother who they hadn't seen in years. But they don't recognize him. But still, after all they've done to him, there's forgiveness and there's reconciliation. And in verse 50, for the first time, we have the word for forgiveness. It is possible. It is possible if you want to, through the love of God, to forgive somebody, to work through pain, to work through a broken heart, to work through a broken relationship, even after a lifetime of pain. Now, the words used in the Bible for forgiveness is two different words. One, forgiveness from God. We ask forgiveness of God. And the other one's forgiveness from each other. Now, the one, forgiveness from each other in the Old Testament, it's kind of funny. It's spelled the same as the space people, NASA, N-A-S-A. It means to lift. I'm going to lift off. It means to lift, to carry away, to remove. Forgiveness between people. As if there's a burden you're carrying around and you ask somebody, you ask God, God, take this burden from me. Lift it, carry it away. Someone taking away our burden. Burden of resentment, burden of bitterness. It may be guilt, it may be harm we did to somebody, it may be something somebody did to you. But taking away the need for hate, taking away the need for revenge. Maybe forgiving somebody else, it may just be forgiving yourself. The New Testament, the word for forgiveness means to release or let go. In forgiving, we're releasing and we're letting go. Having something taken off of us, we're choosing to let go of something we're hanging on to. Let go of the need for revenge. Let go for the need of retribution. Release the right to hold something over the head of someone else. And this part is important. Forgiveness is not excusing bad behavior or evil or wrong. Forgiveness is not saying, hey, what you did is okay. I'm okay. It's okay that you did that. It is not that. Forgiveness is still saying, yeah, what you did was painful. Forgiveness does not mean any of that. It does not mean there are no consequences for what the person did. Forgiveness, even though you forgive somebody, there still may be consequences for what was done. And we do not forgive and forget. If someone does something to you, you forgive them. You don't forget so it does not happen again. And I share this story every time I'm talking about forgiveness. I heard it a long time ago. Somebody comes to your house. You're sitting at your table drinking coffee with them. You have a bunch of change or money, something on the table. You get up, go to the bathroom. You come back. Your money's gone and they're gone. A few days later, a month later, a year later, you let them back over. You're sitting at the table having coffee. Something's on the table. Money, watch, I don't know, whatever. You get up, go to another room. You come back. It's gone, and they're gone. Now, do you let them in a third time, people? If you do, there's a word for that. I'm not going to say what it is. But you don't forget. But also this. If you let them in a third time and you leave something valuable there in front of them, guess what? You're at fault. You're putting temptation in front of them. Yeah, you can invite them in, but don't leave anything in front of them. But you don't forget what they have done so it doesn't happen again. Okay, now thinking about this, I want to put into practical terms how you can see forgiveness. I hope everybody can hear me. I didn't put my microphone on this morning. I pretty much carry this thing wherever I go. Probably about time I empty it and wash it. It hadn't been washed in a long time. I won't tell you what I have in here, but I have a whole lot of, and at times it gets heavy, depending on what I have in it. Now, one thing these days, just about everywhere you go, I just saw on Facebook this morning, Washita Parish has said, they're done with storm cleanup. No more. The police jury in Washita said that. Anybody heard anything here? Okay. There's so much cleanup, road repair and this and that. A lot of times there's one lane road. Now, there's one lane. And you're in the one lane that is, But there's always, always those one or two people. You know what they do? They got to get all the way as far as they can go in the lane that ends. You're looking around, you see somebody does that? Huh? You know, and what do? They muscle their way in right at the end. Not, you know, nobody letting them in. They're going to force their way in, you know, and when that happens, you know, they may force their way in front of you. You know, little things, you know, like that happen, you know, all the time, you know, and those little things, you know, if we carry them, you know, around with us, you know, just little things like that, you know, they add up. Remember the old book a long time ago, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff? Well, people, you have enough small stuff happen to you, you know, and it keeps on happening, and you keep carrying it around, this thing will make you sweat. Now, there's an exercise workout thing, and I don't remember what it's called, where you put a weighted vest or a weighted backpack on, you go out walking. You know, it's supposed to, you know, I don't remember what it's called. You know, anybody do it? You know, I have a friend down in Columbia that, you know, does it all the time, you know, and he loves it. And I said, well, good for you. You know, I said, I did that when I didn't know. It was my choice. I joined, you know, then I had to do that, you know, so I don't do it anymore. But, you know, you carry all this around, you know, and it makes life rough. But then we get the bigger things, you know. They're not the little things, you know, they're just a little bit bigger things, you know. And what makes these things hard, especially if it comes from somebody we know, from somebody we live with, you know, somebody we love, somebody we think loves us, and they do love us. You know, I got to tell you this about my dearly beloved wife, and I love her to death. But, you know, I don't know if any of y'all ladies out there have this. Men, you can answer, you know, don't answer out loud. You know, she has a tone problem. You know, we're after at a church function one time, and somebody came up and asked her something, simple question. And she gave a very simple answer. You know, as soon as she said it, the people just got this look on their face like, I can't believe, and walk off. And Amanda was like, what happened? You know, even our kids said, Mom, you need to do something about that tone problem. Tone it down. But, you know, she, you know, it's just her. You know, but at times she says something, you know, and I could either take it, like, oh, God, I can't believe, you know. But I know it's just her. You know, it's that tone sometimes. But when somebody we love says something, we do something, and they make a joke out of it, you know, or they say something that really hurt, it's hard to forgive. And, you know, and if we carry in all those little bitty things, when the bigger things come, it makes it that much harder. And then, oh gosh, Lord have mercy. We have the big things that come, the big things that happen. And sometimes these big things, there is no forgiveness, especially overnight. You just have to keep pounding away at it, chipping away at it day after day after day. The big things in life. Sometimes those big things, they're so big they might require therapy, they might require a counselor, they might require going to a doctor, getting medicine. One thing they really, really require is prayer. I came up with an acronym, RAP. You know, and I can tell y'all right now, you know, I love music, but one thing I'm not a fan of is rap music. R, remember your own faults. Remember, you're not perfect. Jesus Christ was the only perfect one. So if somebody does something, remember your own faults. A, assume the best of the other person. You know, and this happens. Somebody does something, And we don't have a clue as to what that person has been through that day, the day before, the year before. We don't have a clue as to what that person has been through in their life. Assume the best of the other person. And then P, pray for that person. Jesus said, when someone is wrong you, pray for them. The big things that people do, and maybe they do them consistently, maybe they do them on purpose, but if we hold on to those small things and those bigger things, it makes life hard. It makes it hard just to get out of bed. It makes it hard just to walk around. But then add an S to wraps. Seek to understand. Seek to understand maybe why they did what they did. I hope and I pray you don't hold on to the small things or the medium things. And the big things can make life hard no matter what. At times, like I said, big things, we need therapy, we need a counselor. One thing about forgiveness is to say, I'm sorry. Forgive yourself. A lot of times we just need to forgive ourselves. But tell the other person, please forgive me. And I found that sometimes the other person does not even know what you're talking about. You're holding against something, against somebody else, and the only person you're hurting is yourself. They don't even know what you're talking about. But go back to Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. They lied to their father, telling their dad that an animal ate him. They throw him in the pit, they take him out, and they sell him into slavery. All of that. He could have come out of all that just the most mean, angry, revengeful, person, just, mad at the world. But he didn't. He didn't. And I like to think while Joseph was in prison, he was praying to God, God, help me. God, take this burden from me. God, release me. God, these things that happened to me, take it away, carry them away. And the reason I think that is what he told his brothers. Joseph said to them, and we just got through talking for 3 Sundays about this, do not be afraid. Over and over, Scripture tells us, do not be afraid. To live a life of faith, to live a life fearless, do not be afraid. And why? Because God is with you. Do not be afraid. Why? Because Jesus Christ died on a cross for you. Do not be afraid because God is with you. That Joseph said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. Reassured them and spoke kindly to them. God did this in Joseph. Joseph couldn't have done it by himself. Went through all of this. And he comes out of this, forgives his brother, reconciliation, and the good that he did. It's a choice for each of us, for all of us. You can either become the victim and pass it along, or you are the conqueror. The conqueror is in Jesus Christ. You are victorious in Jesus Christ, and you pass that along. Instead of hate, resentment, you pass along the love of God, and you pass along the joy that comes from a relationship and Father, Son, Spirit. You forgive. And why? Because you have been forgiven. You've been forgiven by the blood of the cross. In and only through the cross of Jesus Christ, you have been forgiven. And God asks us to pass that along to others. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord Jesus, we just give you thanks. Lord God, may we follow the example of Joseph and learn to forgive, Lord God, even though we don't forget. Lord God, we learn to forgive, Father, Lord Jesus, to make our lives easier, Lord God, and to make our world a better place. In your Son's holy and life-giving name. Amen.